As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is KNSS and KFH radio brand manager Tony Dusing, with Odyssey, I might say. Welcome to Issues 2022, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Mac, and thanks for having me on.
Did I get the title right?
Yes, brand manager. You know, in the radio industry, we call ourselves program directors, but, you know, lately our company, Odyssey, has asked us about doing more for the company. So, brand manager, I think, you know.
Lots more. But you take in the internet and things we do for that, things like that.
Yeah, it's more than just radio programming, I guess you would say.
Well, we're going to talk about radio today. We're going to talk about the 100th anniversary of one of our Odyssey radio stations in Wichita, KFH. Might be well to explain what your responsibilities are in connection with KNSS and KFH.
Yeah, so as a program director of the two stations, basically I manage what we hear on the radio. I select the programs that we air, national, local, you know, hire the talent. You know, if I see the station's not going in the right direction, make suggestions on what we should do to make it right. It's managing those stations to make sure that the listeners like what they hear. And really, the stations, you know, if you hear a station change format or do something different, it's really because of the listeners that may or may not be there. You know, a station that gets a lot of ratings, they're going to stay in that format. But a station that doesn't get a lot of ratings, people that listen, they're going to change formats. So really, I like radio in that way, because really what drives radio formats are the listeners. And if people don't mass to a station, listen to it, it's going to change. But what I like about it too is you get a station, for instance, like yourself, you're on KNSS and the morning show. I mean, it does really great ratings. We're not changing that radio station because people love it. You know, they love that radio station.
We kind of become part of their lives, I think. And you're looking for really, what can we avoid saying that will turn people off?
Yeah, exactly.
And make them just stop listening.
Yeah. You know, and it really, you know, it comes down to we're entertaining, whether it's news, sports, music, you know, and it's the entertainment. And if you're entertaining, listeners will gravitate to, you know, so, which is really nice. It's an exciting field right now.
How long have you been in this position now, Tony?
So, you know, I started as a program director with KFH in the early 90s, so in 20, 30 years ago. So, but before that, for about 10 years, I worked in music radio, and I worked along with you too. You know, you did morning show. I did like an overnight shift, music radio.
You started with KFH, so
Yes.
In 92, because then you stayed with it as ownership has changed.
Yes.
Location has changed and everything. So that's interesting.
Well, and the KFH, actually, I go back to when I got out of high school in the 80s, the mid-80s, where, Yeah, I started with KFH. They were doing country, and a station now is called B98, but at that time we called it something else. But it was on that frequency where we did it, what they call adult contemporary format. So
that's where you and I met. I was doing mornings at KFH, and then I was the program director for a while.
Yeah,
operations manager, but. We were working together, and I've never told you this. I think you were my favorite employee.
Okay, good.
Because
thank you.
I could tell that you had this passion.
Yeah.
And there was nothing I could ask that you wouldn't do if we could figure out what we'd do together.
You know,
it's great to have somebody like that working for you.
You know, and I got into radio because I enjoyed not just the, you know, at that time, you know, you're a 20-year-old or whatever. You really enjoy the music. I mean, I enjoyed it. And I got to learn. I wasn't really into country music, so I got to learn the country music side of it when KFH was doing country, which was really, you know, the Barbara Mandrell, Ronnie Millsap, Alabama. I mean, all those. I mean, I love those songs nowadays, those artists nowadays. But I got into it not just because of the music, but because of the technology and the wonder of it all. You know, this is a device that I'd listened to when I was a kid. I had a little radio. My mom would listen to the radio in the morning, and it just was just something that was just fascinating, the technology.
Well, there is something. I don't know how much we're going to focus on KFH. There's something else. Radio, the technology has changed dramatically in the past few years.
You know, and you know this. I mean, in the 90s, really, changed a lot of studios where we started bringing computers into the studios.
Right.
I mean, really, if you think about it, before the in the 80s and the early 90s, there was not one computer in a studio. You might have a computer out in the business office where they did the
payroll and stuff.
Or you might have had I remember one time when we had one computer that was on the internet that anybody can use in this one office over here, you know. And I remember one DJ, she would always get on there and do the chat and stuff. But that was it. It was just one computer in the entire building. But yeah, when they start bringing computers in the studios, really to try to help manage things that, because if you look at a DJ nowadays on a music station, usually the DJ is the only person in there. He's running the whole thing.
Right.
It's flying an airplane, you know, kind of thing. Right. And so the computer comes in and helps out with that. And also, you know, a lot of the recorded audio, music or commercials, those are all on computer now.
Right.
And that's helped us out.
No more tape. We don't play with tape anymore.
Yep.
So, yeah. How did you become interested in the history of KFH, Tom?
Yeah, so
you've really been involved in this.
Yeah, I remember when KFH, now it just turned 100, and I just become the program director when it was 75 years old. I remember when it was 75, I thought, wow, 75, that's a pretty good number to kind of commemorate. And I started digging into, and at that time we didn't really have much historical stuff. You know, the station's been sold a few times and everything historical was gone. Really. I mean, truly, it was just gone. We didn't have anything. So, you know, reaching out to listeners, people in the industry that were in the market that I knew of. I knew of a few people that used to work at KFH. I contacted them, just trying to get information. And so, anyway, when it was 75 years old, I remember that year making promos with things that we play on the air just to commemorate that and getting some historical stuff. And we've been an affiliate with KFH, an affiliate with CBS in one form or another. Like today, they're a CBS Sports affiliate, but CBS News. And at that time, CBS said, yes, you guys were affiliates with us. We've got audio that we know you guys ran. And they sent me that stuff. And that really helped get it going. And when we turned 85, we did a big exhibit down at the Exploration Place. We had the president at the time was really good at saying, hey, we want to do this. We want to learn how to make exhibits locally, not pay tens of thousands of dollars to exhibits that travel through. We want our guys to know how to make local exhibits, which, you know, I'm not sure how much they do that now, but it was a great idea, and he did a great job. Their people did a great job at creating an 85th reunion. And, of course, you were involved because we did a live broadcast. And that exhibit was that entire year. And, of course, we knew, I mean, we've been seeing 100 years coming and coming and coming. And so,
Let's talk about a little bit about history now. Tell me about the expansion of radio. And the year 1922 was crucial.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So in my when we were looking into the history of radio, of course, you know, none of us were alive back in the 20s.
Nope.
You know, so we don't know how it was. And I tell people it was kind of like, if you remember how internet just blew up in the 90s, like internet websites. I mean, everybody had to have a .com. I remember the .com bubble burst and everybody lost money there. But anyway, everybody had .com and you would make tons of money. Well, that happened in 1920, KDKA, the first radio station basically started in 20, Pittsburgh. Yeah. And that's one of our stations at KDKA.
Is
an Odyssey station. Yeah. So in 20, but a couple of years later in 22, on an almost daily basis, I was looking in the history of radio, almost on a daily basis, radio stations were going on the air across the country. And it was this new technology where people could, because at that time, really, you had some silent movies, but you had to go out to see them. You didn't have a VCR at home or whatever, DVR. You had to go to the theater at that time. Same year, 1922, the Orpheum Theater was being built. It opened that year.
Here in Wichita.
So people went to the theater or maybe silent movies. And but when this radio came along, it was like, wow, I can be entertained in my house. And, you know, at that time, it's interesting because as I started looking into, I noticed a lot of the radio stations, including KFH, when it first started, they were created by companies that made the radios. Right?
Oh, yeah. They manufactured them.
Yeah. So people manufacture, the companies manufactured them. But to sell them, they had to have something on the radio.
Had to have some content.
You know? Yeah. And so they had to have content. So they would start creating these radio stations. And that's how KFH started. And it did, part-time did some ag reports and market reports and sold it that way.
It was all live.
Music
provided by live performers in an auditorium, and KFH KFH had an auditorium.
Yeah. Large auditorium downtown on Market Street. I find it funny because I actually walked at Market Street a few weeks ago, about when our 100th day came, and I wanted to look at, there were four locations. KFH has been in eight locations in Wichita.
Eight, okay.
The first four were on Market Street within four blocks of each other. Yeah. It's like they walked out and said, we need a new location, looked down the street and said, okay, we'll move there. You know, it was funny. But one of the buildings that we were at, it's right now it's abandoned. I say abandoned, it's owned by somebody, it's not being used. But it's there on Market Street, south of Douglas. And it's was called the KFH building, and they were up on the seventh floor, and you had an auditorium. People could come out and watch live radio being performed right there in front of them. But you're right. I mean, back in the 20s, 30s, you know, CBS radio network with the Fibber McGee and Molly and those things. I mean, War of the Worlds was part of that. That started in the late 20s, 29,
Jack Benny, Bob
30. Yeah. Yeah, that's when they started doing it. So in 29, 30, that was a big year for KFH. We got involved with the Wichita Eagle, 50% ownership with them, and then got involved with the CBS Sports or CBS Radio Network, where they provided a lot of these national shows.
I want to break for a minute here. You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is KNSS and KFH Radio Brand Manager Tony Dusing. Tell us about, before this whole thing gets away from us, tell me about some of the personalities who have worked at KFH over the years.
Oh, my goodness.
Several different formats, but go ahead and talk.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many different ones. We recently were able to induct into the radio or in the Wichita Sports Hall of Fame a personality by the name of Larry Stanley. He was our first director of sports.
Okay.
And this had been back in the late 30s, 40s. When he was a sports director, and KFH has done a lot with sports. I mean, Wichita University, then and you know later Wichita State University when they changed their name, and so that was a part. But man, there were so many people. George Wells was a personality that had a show in the evening that was so popular.
Had a great big voice.
Yes. I remember George. Met him a few times. Yeah.
And he had, I mean, back in the day, we see ratings back then that we just, no radio stations in the country see nowadays, the amount of people that listened in. Bruce Beheimer was a guy that was on, was a
farm
director.
Yes. Bing, bing, bing.
And he had the bell.
Yeah.
Cowbell. And I've seen that cowbell. His relatives have shown it to me. We actually used it in the exhibit that we did when that was 85 year of KFH anniversary. But one guy, I never got to hear him, but I always hear from the people that heard him, a guy named Don Anderson, did a morning show, Don Anderson. Now, this has probably been back in the 50s to maybe early 60s, Don Anderson. But they said he was very charismatic and had a very good voice. But one guy I did meet, Tom Bashaw. You've interviewed Tom Bashaw back in the 90s.
Great guy.
Yeah, he was a manager, program director, sales manager, GM, and eventually became part owner of the station. But I did get to meet him. But he has passed away. But he came to KFH in 1949, and it was just a great guy to know. And really, I mean, to me, it was very humble, but all these guys had great voices. Barry Gaston.
Well, you went back to Tom. Yeah, he came from WLS in Chicago.
Yes, he did.
He had that big radio voice.
He did.
No doubt about
it. And they hired him. People from KFH reached out to him because at the time, KFH was going to get a TV station,
right,
which was Channel 3 now, and they wanted to get Channel 3. They never did get Channel 3 because they were also owned by the Eagle, and there was
can't do that.
Government says, hey, you got too many people owning one news outlet, a news outlet covering.
But the thing about Tom, just getting to know him very little, I just knew him a little bit, but
yes,
what a neat guy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of stories.
Of stories, and I've gone back to an interview that you had with him back in the 90s. And because you did a show on KFH called Mac Live, and he came on, and that you can still hear that segment. It's on the KFHradio.com website. It's a podcast, and it's pretty interesting. I had to go through.
I listened to it because
I was just listening to it just to get some a little bit here and snippet. And I just finally said, I got to listen to this whole thing. It was probably 3 or 4 segments long. So, but people that are still with Jack.
You talked about Barry.
Barry Gaston. Barry Gaston.
Go ahead.
Barry. He started when he was a teenager.
Yeah,
he was hired as the Wichita teen DJ on KFH. And this was going to be back in, I think his 50s, late 50s. He was 16 years old when he came to KFH. And he stuck around. He eventually became GM, general manager, in charge of the station in the 80s. When I was there, he was the general manager.
Yeah.
And he became also kind of a part owner with the Kassebaum. So Nancy Landon Kassebaum, former senator of Kansas, and her husband had owned KFH for about 20 years during that period. But yeah, Barry Gaston, and he's helped me a lot with the historical stuff because I was able to get a bunch of pictures. One day, someone brought me a bunch of pictures, and Barry and I sat down. He said, "Oh, that's this person. That's this person. That's this person." You know, but there are so many personalities. I mean, I can keep going on and on about.
Well, let's talk about the tradition of sports reporting and play-by-play on KFH.
Yes,
I grew up listening to KFH for Shockers. Rick Weaver, for one, and lots of others. Tell us about that.
Gus Grebe.
Oh, yeah, Gus.
He was in California. He recently passed away a few years ago. But you're exactly right. And back then, today KFH runs Kansas City Royals baseball. But before the Royals, because they came in the late 60s, we ran St. Louis Cardinals.
Ed Cardinals,
And there's still people that I run into that remember that. And even one of our personalities on KFH, Bob Lutz, grew up listening to Cardinal games with his father on KFH radio.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, with Harry, exactly.
Jack Buck.
Exactly. So, but the station back then, boy, it was really just kind of all format. I mean, they played some music, did news, did sports. It was just, it was very much a lot of different things.
Right. The station has piled up dozens of awards through the years, Tony.
Yes.
I've got a few in my garage.
Yes.
Maybe I think a few dozen. Your office has got a lot, too.
Yes.
KFH has really been recognized through the years by our peers.
Yes. Yeah, it has. We've recently won, because we get sport awards, because it's a sports formatted station, so we've gotten awards for sports and even our website. I found it interesting. I was able to go through some pictures and seen some awards. We used to get awards from the Billboard, which the Billboard is a
Billboard magazine.
Magazine is
the Bible of radio.
Bible, of industry but one of the awards I saw we got was from the United Nations for KFH. back after World War II in the late 40s, they were awarded as being a radio station that provided information to citizens, and it had,
wasn't KFH, like, in emergency situations,
yes,
it was the radio station,
yes,
that had to be on the air. I remember going to the transmitter site where it's 13th and Rock.
Yeah, up there.
Well, there used to be a bunker up there.
Yes, yeah.
If there was an explosion, if there was a war,
yeah,
we could go down
like
to the bunker.
Nuclear war.
So they had a turntable in there and whatever.
Yes, okay. And that's no longer there, unfortunately. But yeah, I remember visiting that bunker, and I thought it was interesting because I saw it back in the 80s at the transmitter site and went downstairs, and the engineer said, yeah, we can come down here if there's a nuclear war or whatever, you know, or it could be a storm or whatever. This is a secondary. And I remember looking up, and I thought, I could see this was not fully underground. It was partially underground, and there were windows. I'm like, is that smart that we were nuclear war and we still can see outside? Yeah. Anyway, but it was an emergency type of station. Back then, I say back then, 40s, 50s, they designated stations across the country as this is the station that's going to provide information for this area.
And we mentioned war, and I just triggered something. This is. KFH was a radio station where people in central Kansas could hear Edward R. Murrow.
Yes.
In World War II, and this is London and all.
Yes.
Wow.
He was over there broadcasting from there.
Yeah.
And you know, back then, we didn't have satellites. They had to use telephone wires.
I don't know how
wires.
They did. They just telephone wires, I guess.
Yeah, telephone wiring. Yeah. And they did have some, radio, like shortwave type of stuff that they use. And it was interesting because I've listened to some of that. That was some of the stuff that CBS News had sent me, was some of the Edward R. Murrow stuff and the difficulties at times that they were able to connect. They would say, let's go to London, and they would be beeps and beep, ding, ding, and maybe Morse code sounds and stuff, and sometimes they would talk and sometimes they wouldn't. But yeah, Edward R. Murrow, he'd been over there.
We're going to run out of time.
Yeah,
We do about four shows totally on this. But why have guys like you and me dedicated our professional lives to radio?
Well,
what is it about this medium that hooks us, you think?
Yeah, I think for different people, different things. I think it is a fun industry to be in. I mean, it is entertainment after all, and being creative and creative in different ways. Whether you're a DJ on a music station and you have to talk in between songs, you have to come up with what you're going to say. And you want to be fun and interesting. You don't want to talk and turn people off. Or when you come to talk stations where they talk for an entire hour, for example, yourself, when you do your morning show, you're providing news and information, traffic. I mean, it's the station that I turn into and many people tune into in the morning to know what's going on in the world, what happened overnight.
You know, it seems like we don't see a lot of people knocking on the door to get into radio. The kids seem to want to go to TV.
Yes.
TV. Well,
yeah.
You know what? TV, it limits you to that screen.
Yes.
Radio doesn't limit
yes.
you.
You're right.
Radio is
exactly
the entire
right.
world.
And like, I talk to
that's
people.
That's what I like about
yes.
it.
Yes. And I talk to some, younger kids that come and they visit radio. And some, it's amazing how many different things there are. Some want to be involved in news. Some want to do play-by-play. I mean, play-by-play is amazing on radio because they have to paint a picture. You know, the radio, TV play-by-play, anybody can do. You could just set any, you can see they're hiring athletes that have no experience.
And they do.
And they do okay, whatever, because they don't, the picture tells the story for TV. With radio, you have to paint the picture in the person's mind.
You do.
You have to be interested. You're it. But,
okay, so you're a young kid going to Southeast High School.
Yep.
I know you worked at the roller skating rink.
Roller skating rink. I tell you, the 80s were him.
Yeah, and did you get to play records
yes.
and stuff?
Yeah, that's
fun.
How I got into radio. I was a DJ at a local roller skating rink. Skaties, it's not around anymore. And we did a private party for a church. And the morning guy for the 98 station, Collins, on the radio, He came out was a part of the church thing. And I remember when I saw him, because I'd listened to his show, I said, oh, you're Collins on the radio. So he was already kind of, you know, yeah. I was like, we had talked and stuff. And as he was leaving, he said, hey, you know, we've got a position at the radio station. I can get you in if you want to come in. It's a weekend thing. You just have to run a top 40 show, whatever. And I'm like, oh, great. So, and that's how it all started for me.
Well, that was interesting because I always thought Collins was kind of a doofus. But
yeah, well, you know, he was one of those guys, those morning guys.
He was crazy.
Not all are, you know, you're not like that. But there are some that are this, you know, crazy morning zoo kind of guy. And he was. But,
Listen, that's all we got time
for
today.
No problem.
Like I said, we can do 4 more hours on this because we just talk about radio. It's so much fun. And, Tony, just, I want to thank you for being with us, and thanks for spending this time on the history, because I love history and I love radio, and you've kind of combined them. I really find this is interesting. Now, can we go to the web?
Yes. Go to kfhradio.com if you want to learn more about the history of KFH. It's great. Some great information, lots of photos, too.
100 years old. Wow.
Man,
I tell
you, oldest in Kansas.
There you go. Our guest is KNSS and KFH Radio brand manager Tony Dusing. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.